Again, I always like to thank you for taking your time to be here in the house of the Lord. And it's always such a privilege to be able to share with you the Word of God, from the Word of God. And, you know, today, during this week, I wondered and thought about and prayed about what to share with you today. And so this is what come to me. And this is the question that I feel like came up in my spirit as God put this thought in my mind of exactly who are you? That's the title of this message today. Who are you? So as I thought about that this week, I thought about who am I? Well, I know my name. I know that I work at a fab shop in North Vimont. I know that I'm a minister here at this church. I know that if you were to be asked that today, you might say, "Well, I'm a lawyer. Well, I'm a banker, or I'm a judge." Or, but you know, somebody. If it doesn't matter who you are today, a teacher, a nurse, a firefighter, a police officer, everybody's somebody. So you are somebody today. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. You are somebody. Amen? You are somebody. So as I was officiating the wedding, I don't know if it was last Saturday. Was it last Saturday, Pam? Or the Saturday before? So over in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in the chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. I want to read this to you this morning and let you be thinking about these scriptures this morning. Who are you? Who are you today in Christ? Think about that. That's the most important question. Wouldn't you agree with me? Wouldn't you agree with me today that the most important question that anything that you could possibly think of today is who are you in Christ? You know, we say we love the Lord, right? We say we love Jesus. We say that we want to honor our Lord. We say that we want to live for... How many people have you ever heard say, "I want to live for my Lord"? You hear it all the time. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to be blessed by the Lord. We hear it all the time. We hear it just about every day, everywhere you go. Any Christian that you talk to, that's what they'll tell you. I want to love like the Lord loves. But let me read to you this morning in my Bible here. It tells me that love, the little subtitles in black letters, it says three words. It says love is indispensable. Love is indispensable. A family that needed food. A family that didn't know where their next meal was coming from. Love is indispensable. And listen, I wish I could get excited this morning. I wish I could get really wound up this morning. But let me just tell you this morning without moving too much. Love is indispensable. You know what? You know what that says to me? Those three words, it tells me that God's got unlimited love for you today. Amen? God's got unlimited love for you today. No matter who you are, God's got unlimited amount of love that He wants to give to you today. But let me read to you what Paul says. And I read these very words in the wedding I just officiated a few weeks ago. And it says here in the Word of God to us today, it says, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." Wow, I could preach on that this morning and go home. God says in the Word of God, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or have angels or of angels, but do not have love, he says, I am only a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love. Listen, I want to stop right there just for a second. If I have the faith that can move all mountains, if I have the faith that can do all things, if I have the understanding of all knowledge and all mysteries, but Paul says, if I do not have love, you know what he says here in the next words? He says, I am nothing. Listen, you can walk around all you want. You can talk God all you want. You can quote scripture all you want. You can claim to be a child of God all you want. But if you don't have the indispensable love of God inside of you this morning, church family, then you are nothing, according to what Paul writes. Those are not my words. Those are not my sayings. I'm not quoting or stealing this from someone else. This is in the Word of God right here in black and white. He says, if you have the faith that can move mountains but not have the love of God, then you are nothing. Listen, that's the number one thing that I stress to people that are getting married. Make sure you have the love. Make sure you have the love of God in you for your spouse. The only way that I've made it, well, let me rephrase that. The only way that Pam has made it with me for the last 20 years, she's had love in her heart for me. True love. Indispensable love. And the only way that I've made it with her in the last 20 years, well, it's been pretty easy for me. Pam's a good woman. We're filled with the indispensable love of God. So many people out in the world today that are struggling. So many people out in the world today that are confused. So many people out in the world today that are living their lives in turmoil, in confusion, in darkness. They're blinded because they are not filled with the indispensable love of God. Listen, have you in the last few months, have you in the last year wanted to go and burn down a building, tear down a statue, bust out businesses, windows out of their businesses, and destroy their businesses? Has anybody here in this church house wanted to do those kinds of things? If those thoughts even crossed your mind, then you're not filled with the indispensable love of God. You know what keeps me on the right side of the law? Well, I'm wanting to laugh this morning. I want to chuckle. But I said, nope. Do you know what keeps me in check? Do you know what keeps you in check this morning? It's the love of God. It's the indispensable love of God that keeps you on the right side. It keeps you in line. And you respect God's authority. You respect God's will. You respect God's, when He speaks to my heart. Listen, I know I'm going to mess up even before I do it. That's the Holy Spirit. That, you know, the other day when I put that foot up on that pipe, I told Dennis this morning, he said, what happened? When I put my foot up on that pipe and I reach out there, I had one foot on a fork and the other foot up on top of that pipe. And when I reach out there to uncut that, to snap that band, and those pipe come, and you know what? I knew I was going to get hurt. I knew I was going to get hurt before I got hurt. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit already told me. It already gave me a feeling inside of me. Don't do it. But guess what I did? I reach out. Had my weight on that pipe on this left leg, snapped that band, and guess what? That pipe come around and knocked me down on top of it. And here I go, whoosh, fell down on top of that pipe. Now that's why I got a cracked rib this morning, because I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen, what do you think today? What do you think today on Facebook? If we listened to the Holy Spirit a little more, we wouldn't be sinning against God. We'd be sharing a little bit of love. We'd be promoting that indispensable love of God. You say, well, I just can't love that person no more. I'm tired of loving that person. What if God said that about you? What if God said that about me? I'm tired of telling Phil not to mess up. I'm tired of telling Phil, you know, I'm tired of him messing up, so I'm done with him. I'm tired of Phil sinning against me. I'm tired of Phil not listening to me. What if God said that about you and me today? Boy, we'd be in a world of trouble. But God says every time, He says, Phil, don't worry about it. You know, every time I mess up, God says, you don't worry about it. It's okay. That cross of Calvary, man, that just fires me up. That gets me excited this morning. You can't tell it right now, but on the inside of me this morning, the cross of Calvary, the shed blood of Christ, that's the indispensable love of God that He poured out upon humanity, poured out upon the entire world, that we could have unlimited amount of God's love, unlimited amount of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. You know what? I've been hurt before. People's hurt me before, and they'll hurt me again. I've been used by people. I've been manipulated by people. I've been lied to by people. People that I thought were my friends. People that I thought I could trust. I've been lied to. I've been broken by them. But guess what? That's okay. It's all right. Because Paul says, if you have the faith that can move mountains, but not have love, then you're nothing. Guess what God wants you to know today? Guess what God wants you to hear today? People that are watching on Facebook this morning, guess what God wants you to know today? Guess what God wants you to hear today? You are somebody. Because God says you are. Not because I say you are, but because God says you are. Because God says that's how much He loves you. Indispensable love. Listen, you can't stop making God love you. Amen? You can't make God quit loving you. Now, you can make me quit loving you in my physical mind, in my carnal mind, in this carnal body, this carnal heart. But the love of God inside of me that's supposed to be controlling my life, the only reason you stop loving someone, the only reason you stop loving someone and turning against someone is because you're letting your carnal mind, it's because you're letting your carnal body control you. I just knocked the thing off the speaker. But listen, when you're led by God's indispensable love, when you're led by the Holy Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to quit loving people. God's not going to quit loving you. God can't quit loving you. That's His nature to love you. That's His nature to love me. But it's not always our nature. We're even supposed to love our enemies. Did you know that this morning, church family? How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. The Bible says you're supposed to love even your enemies. And that's some indispensable love that we're talking about. The people that's hurt you, that's burnt you, that's used you, that's lied to you, that's broken you in half. Somebody told me, and I'm not going to mention no names. Somebody told me the other day, why you got to be filled with so much hate toward me? And I looked at that and I thought, what are you even talking about? What are you even saying? And I replied back and I said, I don't hate you. I said, you got the wrong idea. You got the wrong person you're talking to. I don't hate anybody. How can a man be filled with the love of God and hate somebody? I don't hate anybody. The love that Christ gave on the cross is the same love that I possess inside of my spirit this morning, inside of my inner man. I don't have no hate for nobody, not even my worst enemy. But I tell you what I am doing to my enemy, they don't know it. I'm loving them. Praying for them. Every day, they don't even know it. A man laying in the hospital in UAB for the last 19 days, on a ventilator for the last 12 days. You know, he loved me. He talked to me. He planted the seed of God inside of me. And every time I think about that, I think about that indispensable love of God that he just willingly poured out upon me. And at that time, I didn't even like God. I hated God. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I didn't like no church-going people. I didn't like no preachers. I didn't like elders. I didn't like no anything, nothing to do, nothing at all with the church or God himself was so far from me, so far from my life, so far from anything that I ever thought that would be possible for me. I didn't even care. I had no thought of my own life or anybody else's life. But yet that man sat in his home and would preach, would read and speak the word of God to me. He said, Philip, let me open my Bible and let me read John 3:16 to you. I didn't care about no John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I didn't care about that. Those were just words to me. Those were just words coming out of man's mouth. And I thought, man, I'd be glad when he's done. You know, like a lot of times preachers, when they get done preaching, man, I'm so glad he's done. So glad he's done preaching this morning. The indispensable love of God. That man could have told me, so man, you ain't coming in my house. I don't want you around my family. I don't want you around my wife. I don't trust you. I don't want nothing to do with you. And you know what? Listen, I want to tell you, I don't like sharing this. I've said it before. There was a time in my life, they say, well, you got to reach rock bottom. And one night I reached rock bottom. And that same man that I'm talking about this morning, he came to my house. He came to my house. And my life was at an end. Came to my house. And he said these words to me. He said, Philip, he said, you just wait. He said, don't do anything stupid. I called him. And I told him, I said, Kenneth, this is it, man. I can't take no more. And I'm not going into those details. But he said on the phone to me, he said, wait. He said, just wait till I get there. We lived a block apart. He said, just wait. He said, wait till I get there. And he got there. I waited. I didn't want to wait, but I did. But something wouldn't let me. Something wouldn't let me. Something wouldn't let me finish the thought that was in my mind. And boy, I'm glad I didn't. I wouldn't be here today. I'm not a coward. I say what I mean, and I'll do what I say. But that man, the end of spirit, what if he'd said, you know, I'm kind of tired. I feel you'll be all right. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Just go on to bed and go to sleep. I'll talk to you tomorrow. But no, he jumped in his truck and he came over as fast as he could. And we sat there and talked. And I told him, I said, man, I don't understand my life. I said, I don't understand why I'm at this point. I don't understand why my life is so miserable. And listen, while we're to this point, let me share this with you right here. I got a few things I want to share with you real quickly this morning before we close. You know, in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I want to share this with you in the Word of God. It says, John chapter 15, verse 5. It says in the Word of God, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. And you know, as we sat there that night, these are some of the words that come back to me today. Apart from God today, church family, Facebook friends and family, apart from God today, you can do nothing. You can't do anything on your own. I want to skip on down now and read to you out of, Ecclesiastes, what it says, a few verses of scripture in chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. And it says here in the Word of God, it says, "And what do people get for all their toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun?" It goes on to say, "All their days, their work is grief and pain. And even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find satisfaction?" That's a good question. Who can eat and find satisfaction without God? If you're living apart from God today, you know, I thought about a branch. I thought about a branch off a tomato vine or whatever kind of vine. If it gets cut off, go back out there and check it in a few days and see what it looks like. It dies. It withers up. It dies. And then it's blown away with the wind. Have you ever tried to chase the wind and catch it? It's impossible to do. You can't catch the wind. Has anybody in this church house ever caught the wind? It changes directions on its own. And to chase after it and try to catch the wind is meaningless. So why would we want to live apart from God? It's like chasing after the wind. And it's impossible to please God without being a part of God. Amen? You have to be a part of God. You have to be in God. You have to do things to please God, to be rewarded by God. And listen, the best reward that I know that God gives is eternal life. You know, it didn't cost us a thing. It didn't cost me nothing. But it cost Jesus everything. It costed God everything. Listen, I want to move on to this. Also, listen to what it also says in Ecclesiastes in chapter 2 and verse 26. It says, "To the person who pleases Him, God gives him wisdom. God gives him knowledge. And God gives him happiness." Man, if that's not enough to make you shout, I wish I could say hallelujah to that this morning. And I wish I could get all excited about that this morning, because it's great to know that who pleases God? God gives wisdom. Man, I'm a lot wiser than I used to be. God gives knowledge. I'm a lot smarter than I used to be. Not in the world, but in God. And man, I'm going to tell you, I'm a witness to this morning. I can testify to you this morning that I'm a lot happier than I used to be. Anybody else in the house of God this morning? You're a lot happier now. And when you remember the days when you didn't have the Lord in your life, you remember the days when you lived apart from God, how unhappy you was, how miserable you was. Can you remember this morning, church family, Facebook friends and family, can you say amen to that today? Praise God, hallelujah, that I am happier today than I have ever been. Because of God. And that's the only reason. It's not because of anything I've done in the world. Listen, all your success, all your wealth, all your fame, all your fortune, it will fade away. It will disappear in time. But listen, one thing that won't fade away today, God's Word tells us to lay up treasures in heaven where they won't fade away, where they won't rust, where moths don't eat them up and destroy them, where thieves break in and steal them. He says, lay up your treasure in heaven. And listen, the only way you're going to do that, the only way you're going to lay up treasures in heaven is that you got to be a part of God. And God's got to be a part of you. You got to be filled with that indispensable love of God. And that's the only way you ever going to lay up treasures in heaven. Why you're on this walk of life, why you're on this earth, if you want to be successful, if you want to have wealth, fortune, and fame. And listen, the only way you're going to have it is by putting your faith and putting your trust and putting your love in the Lord. And once you start sharing that love, once you start sharing that wisdom, and once you start sharing that knowledge of the Lord, and once you start, don't keep the happiness to yourself. Listen, I love to be happy, but listen, I want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. And you know that man I'm talking about this morning? I've witnessed to so many people. I've testified to so many people about the Lord because I'm happy to do so. I'm happy. I want people to know the happiness that God can fill their lives with so they can be happy. You ever walk around people and see how dull they are? How dull and dreary they are? You know, I hate dull and dreary days. Cloudy, dull, and dreary winter days. Now, I'm thankful for the seasons, but that's the way a lot of people walk around. They walk around like they're on their last leg. They walk around like they're just so dull and dreary. And if you ever talk to them, they've got a world, to complain about. But the one thing I don't hear them talk about, the one thing I don't hear them praise about is the happiness they have of the Lord. But wouldn't it be nice if you walked up to somebody and they were happier than you? You ever met anybody like that? Now, they might get on your nerves. I don't know. So, man, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he so happy? What's wrong with this woman? Why is she so happy? But you know what? I think we got something to be happy about. With so much turmoil and evil in the world today, wouldn't it be a little bit brighter world today if we showed the happiness of God's love to the world today? Wouldn't it be so much a better world if we filled God's world with the love of God today, that indispensable love, and put a smile on somebody's face? That would be great. Last thing I'm going to share with you this morning. I think. Yeah, it is. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 26, like it says here, it says, it's meaningless to live apart from the Lord. It's all vain. It's all vain to live unto ourselves. But listen, to live unto God means to live and walk in the love of God. That's what it means this morning to be a Christian. It means to live and walk in the love of God and to share that love with others that they may have happiness too. Now listen, I'm gonna fly through this. There was a rich man that died, and there was a beggar named Lazarus that laid at his gates every day. And it says in the Word of God that he begged. Or he longed. He longed just for what fell from the rich man's table. He longed. That means that he saw that rich man's food and saw how good it was. But you know what the rich man was thinking? I got everything I need. And I'm going to keep it to myself. But it says in the Word of God, you can find the story in the book of Luke, chapter 16. It says in the Word of God that they both died. And the rich man went to hell. And Lazarus went to heaven to be with Abraham. But it says, and it talks about the rich man. It talks about the rich man being tormented. He was being tortured in the flames of hell. And he begged Father Abraham just to send Lazarus to dip his tip. It didn't say his finger. It didn't say a cup of water. He said just to dip the tip of his finger in the water to quench his tongue in those flames. But guess what? Abraham told him. He said, I can't do it. There's no way. There's a great gulf fixed. There's no way. that we can get to you or you can get to us. So the rich man, all the days of his life, thought he had everything he needed. Thought he didn't need nothing else. But then in the very end, he realized he made a mistake. He realized he made a big mistake, that he missed something. And then he told Abraham, he said, well, just send Lazarus back to my brothers. He had five brothers. He said, just send him back and tell them about this place. Warn them. He said, warn them. But Abraham told him, he said, if they got Moses and the prophets to listen to, he said, they wouldn't even believe someone from the dead if we sent them back. So that tells me a great something this morning. We still have time. Amen. We still have time to be talking about Jesus. We still have time in the world we're living in today. We don't know what's going to happen in the next week, next 6 months, next year. But we do know we got to stay true to the faith. We do know that the Lord is with us. And He's going to be with us. He said, I'll be with you all the way until the end. And I think that the end, who knows when it's coming. But it's coming. So don't think like the rich man. Facebook, friends and family, don't think like the rich man today. That you got all the time in the world. And I've got everything I need to survive. If you don't have Jesus today, you can have everything stocked up. You can be one of them doomsday preppers. And have all the food and everything you got else that you can think of to stay alive. But there's going to come a time you're going to die and you're going to stand before the Lord. And that's when it's going to make the difference if you had everything you needed to just walk alive. So there's still time to know the Lord and accept Him into your life. And the Bible says those that call upon the name of the Lord, what does it say? It says they shall be saved. All you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. It's that simple. There's no formula. There's no test you got to take and pass. All you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord, confess Him with your mouth, and believe in your heart that He died on the cross for you, was risen on the third day, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father right now, making intercessions for you. And it says, if you believe that and confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. And I believe that with 100%, because you're looking at a saved man this morning that was brought back from the gates of hell, sitting at the gates of death, and now I'm living unto a life that's abundant. And the life that's going to come is going to be even better. So that's what the Lord would have you to hear today. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, I'm not worried about no bodily pain can bring me today that could cause me trouble. Because I know that's only temporarily. Lord, I know this cracked rib, I know how the pain feels. And it's tremendous when it hits me. But Lord, that's not even compared to the pain. That's not even comparison to the torment that one can feel. And they will feel if they don't know you. If they don't have that indispensable love in their life today. If they don't know you, Lord. If they don't know you, if they don't love you. That pain is going to be eternal. That torture is going to be eternal. There's no healing from it. There's no being set free from it. Once you're there, you're there. But God, we thank you for that indispensable love this morning. And Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for that grace. We thank you for that blood. We thank you for the cross of Calvary, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you this morning for loving us. God, we pray your blessings on each person that's watching on Facebook today, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray for those that are here in your house today, Heavenly Father. God, we pray that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a double portion of blessings upon them this morning, Lord. God, take away our fears today. Lord, take away our doubts today. Lord, take away our hindrances today, Lord. And God, fill us with your strength. Fill us with your mightiness. Fill us with your happiness today, God, your wisdom, your knowledge, your faith, Heavenly Father. And God, encourage us to go out and stand strong with you and for you, Heavenly Father, even in the face of our adversary, Lord, that's seeking to devour us. God, we just now ask you to build a hedge of protection over us, Lord. And God, in these upcoming days, Lord, help us to be strong. And Lord, help us to place our faith in you, Lord, knowing that you are a high tower, our strength, our refuge, our place of shelter that we can go to, our hiding place, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that for that this morning, for covering us with your wings of love and for sheltering us, Lord, when we have nowhere else to go from the storms of life. And God, now we just pray your blessings on each person. We pray, Lord, that all that's been said and done in your house today, Lord, to be to honor and glorify your holy name. In these things we humbly ask now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.